Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Manchester Radio, the wonderful podcast that we do every week and have fun and talk about every episode, among other things. Tonight we got lots to talk about. We've got to talk about the episode. Becky's going to talk about the LA convention. We've got some other things to mention. And we're going to talk about the preview for next week's episode. So fair warning, there will be spoilers discussed later. Our guest call-in number is 347-205-9801. And that is a new number. Winchester Radio has a new home. We are part of Media Boulevard now. I'm very happy to be there and have them as a sponsor. But you can still download us on iTunes. You can still find us at winchesterbros.com. Just click on the Winchester Radio icon on the side. You can find us through Facebook and Twitter. And please, everyone, if you enjoy our podcast, let your friends know and let them know that we moved. Not everybody, I think, has found that out yet, and there's some stragglers, so we'd love to have everybody back and listening to us, so let them know. We really appreciate that a lot because we enjoy doing this. Tonight we're talking about the 14th episode of the sixth season entitled Mannequin 3, The Reckoning.
Coolest title ever.
Here we go. What?
The coolest title ever. I absolutely love that title.
I do, too. I thought it was a great choice. It's so perfect for exactly what went on in the episode last night. And it's right up there, you know, with Chris Angel is a douchebag and, you know, Live Free or Twy Hard. It's definitely right on up there. Do you want to talk a little about the episode? And I'm going to be quiet for a second because I'm still working. I'm working on a Saturday, which is unusual. And, of course, the minute I start to do the podcast, my coworker calls. I haven't called all day, but they call. And I've got to email him and let him know that I'm still around and not to worry, but I can't actually speak to him at the moment. So, Becky, you want to talk about about the episode a bit?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, the episode starts with Dean trying to wake up Sam, who had passed out from at the end of last week. And I was... You know, I wasn't here for the podcast last week, so I don't know what, and I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I was really surprised at the end of last week that they had Sam hit that wall so soon and was remembering hell and everything. And so I was, like, really curious, okay, what are they going to do now? And so then at the beginning, I like they continued with that at the beginning of this episode and had Sam still passed out and Dean worried about him. And, we've been missing the brother, you know, the brothers trying to taking care of each other for such a long time. So it was nice seeing Dean trying to wake up Sam. And I really thought it was a cool effect with the flame going out in his eye, in Sam's eye right before he woke up. I thought that was really cool. And so what I'm curious about is, so whenever Sam remembers hell for a split second, is he going to be, like, passing out every now and then now? Or, you know, how are they going to deal with that? What's going to happen?
You know, I'm hitting send on this email. So I'm done. That's actually a very serious concern with Sam. If he's going to have the, and this is actually something we talked about last week, I mentioned that if Sam has no idea when these sort of things are going to occur, and they're kind of, I guess, founded in Sam remembering his past, like other things like a case or a hunt or maybe meeting somebody from there. But if it does happen again, what if he's like, right in the middle of a hunt, and he's about to save Dean's life, or an innocent person, a victim's life, or about to be attacked, or something. What if that happens to him, and he just falls down, and that's going to have terrible consequences?
Right, I'm wondering the same thing. How how they're going to go with it, how they're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was really glad to see it, and I'm glad that's one thing they're doing this season is they're not, like, dragging things out. It's like, you know, here's a question, let's answer it. You know, you wondered what was going to happen if Sam scratched at the wall. If he was going to scratch at the wall, well, here you go. So I like that, and it freaked me out last week because I wasn't expecting it, you know. Sam and Dean were having one of their usual sort of episode-ending discussions, and they were actually very brotherly, you know. Dean's trying to make Sam feel better, and Sam's too cranky over it all or too mopey to accept it, and then all of a sudden he falls down on the ground. You just hear this big thud, and you freak out right along with Dean.
I knew something had to happen at the end because, you know, I was watching it, used to watching it on East Coast, but I was in L.A., you know, for the con, so I'm watching it on West Coast time, and I had already, like, seen tweets from friends, you know, saying, oh, my God, that ending, how can they end it there? Oh, no. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm dreading this so much.
I know, it was such a shock, and I also thought it was really great that this week's episode picked up right where we left off. I had a fear that, you know, a lot of episodes when we had stuff like that last season or before, they don't start right up again. I fully expected to be at Bobby's, you know, and then talk it all out, you know, like, Bobby, you know, you won't believe it, you know, Sam collapsed, and then I'm having this discussion. But it didn't. It picked right up with Sam on the floor and poor Dean hovering over him, and I know the opinion on this episode seems to be kind of divided. Either you liked it or you didn't. And which is, you know, it's fine. They're all like that. But I was just so excited to see that brotherly concern. That's the kind of stuff we used to see in first and second season with Dean, like, right there with Sam. You know, he was, you know, checking the pulse in his neck. You know, he had his hand on the top of Sam's head, just like, what's going on, comforting poor Dan, thinking of my designer. Dean, he was so worried. You could see the expression on his face and the sound of his voice. He's distraught. He's angry. He's upset. It was just everything. And think of it, like when Sam used to have the visions, and Dean would just go right over and put his arm around him or help him out. And, you know, they hadn't done that for years. It's been years since Sam would accept that kind of comfort.
Right.
So, you know, so I was just so excited to see it. That episode could have just been that scene repeated, like, you know, 30 times, and I would have been okay. I mean, didn't you like it? Did you think of those things, or am I, like, all alone?
Oh, yeah, I love that scene, for specifically the reasons that you're saying. The episode overall, I was just, like, kind of meh with, you know, it was had some really good creepy parts. I mean, the anatomy mannequin, one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life, when it was move its head and move its eyes and everything.
I know.
I really want to know, okay, was this CGI? Was it robotics? Because, like, one part there, the last time we see its head moving after it killed the guy, its face, it kind of smiled, you know, and so I'm like, okay, is that a guy in prosthetics? You know, I really want to know how they did that because it was creepy.
But yeah, then, it was really creepy.
Then there were other parts where I was like, okay, are we watching Supernatural or One Tree Hill? Because, like, Dean having the flashbacks to Lisa and Ben and stuff in the car was just not something I'm used to seeing on Supernatural. And don't get me wrong, love the show. But I was just kind of taken out of it, you know, during that, because it was like, I don't like this. I'm not used to this.
I like the episode, but you're right, and I think we've talked about it, like, early season. I think we both liked the Lisa storyline well enough, and we're kind of surprised that we liked it because it showed a different side of Dean, and it was something Dean needed.
Right, I really like Lisa. I like Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that whole, like, musical memory montage thing. And to me, I've heard about Eric Kripke and stuff, I wouldn't think he would have liked that either.
And I'm honestly a little surprised that it's a Sarah Gamble thing, because, yeah, she's a girl, Eric's a boy, but you know, she's always been just as big into the horror aspect, you know, more blood and guts and violence, the better. You know, she's always been the same way in that thing. I mean, she's a little bit more on the kind of, you know, feelings or character work side, but that doesn't mean she's lacking in the blood and guts horror slasher. Slashy is a whole other thing that we don't cover on Supernatural. Oops. But you know what I'm saying. It's like she's okay with that, and if you're a writer on the show, you've got to be okay with it, whether you're a man or a woman. And I thought that montage. I wondered, was the episode a little short? Because usually they're short anyway because of commercials on the CW. But did they need a little something? Or did they just kind of want to acknowledge that this was the end of Dean and Lisa? I think there would have been. They're usually so good with those musical montage things, and this was a little, I didn't hate it, but I thought it was strange. I thought, where did this come from? And the choices of the scenes were a little odd too, or if you wanted to do something like that, I would have, you know, done the montage, but I would have picked like a really, like, you know, rocker 70s classic rock song, you know, something totally different. Like later on when they played Nazareth and Love Hurts.
Right.
One scene. Now, that was a great choice. Maybe that should have played over the Lisa and Dean montage. And the scenes itself and how Lisa was feeling, I totally understood. You know, she's still pissed. And I don't blame her, because the last time she saw Dean, he pushed Ben around. I'm surprised they didn't talk about that, or Dean didn't say, I'm sorry, or something. But she's still pretty angry, and she's upset because, you know, she does love Dean, she cares about him, but she just knows it's not working, and she's trying to move on, and all of a sudden Dean shows up at the door, and she gets put right back on square one. So what did you think?
Right. Her scenes with Dean, I liked it when they're talking, and she put the green sweater on over her dress and everything. I liked that scene, and I even liked the scene with Ben. Because, you know, I like that Dean, like, totally, it did not hit him that he was leaving a family. You could tell he did not realize that he was doing something that he's always said he would never do, and he always was mad at Sam for doing. And you could tell he hadn't realized that he was doing that. I like that scene. It's just the whole driving in the car, remembering every time Lisa opened a door, that kind of
fun. Yeah, like, what the hell is that? You know, and it's not enough for me to like abandon the show or anything like that, because it's just sometimes there's just that's kind of a makes you go moment, you know, like really okay, but otherwise I like the actual dialogue scenes and the thing that you mentioned, the detail you mentioned where she puts the sweater over her pretty date dress, I thought that was interesting. It's like it was very a big message to Dean that maybe we used to go out like this, but you don't get this anymore, you know? And she felt sort of like she was protecting herself, too. It was probably a subconscious way of protecting herself from how she feels about Dean and the different things and the different way she is right now. So I thought that was a really great choice. I don't know who came up with it, whether it was Cindy Sampson or the director or who knows, Jensen. could easily would have been him. I thought that was a really great choice, but it was odd. But I don't. Do you think we'll see her again?
See, if it wasn't for the whole One Tree Hill moment, I would think we would.
Mm-hmm.
But, especially with Ben, the way he talked, I would think that they would.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, just got a tweet. Don't worry, we are not abandoning the show. Just saw a tweet. We're not abandoning the show. We're just talking about one little scene that we thought was out of place. That's all, not the whole show. Show still rocks.
Hello, whoever you are.
Listening, tweeting.
All
right, one little scene.
There are people out there that are pretty angry over that. Just, I can, you know, there's some people, folks out there, and they're like, just, you know, pretty disgusted. But I think they're just disgusted about a lot of stuff. And why are you still watching?
I will never, ever abandon Supernatural. Don't have to worry about that. But when I was going back to the, what were we talking about, Lisa?
Lisa, do you think it's the last we've seen of Lisa?
Oh, yeah, right.
And you were saying you wouldn't have thought so before.
I wouldn't have thought so, but it's the way Ben talked and saying Dean, you know, abandoning your family type thing, I don't think it is. I think that, you know, we may see him back, but then we had the One Tree Hill moment, which kind of was like a goodbye. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm 50-50 on that.
Yeah, but the montage, like it's just a little bit strange. So I'm not sure that is the message of is goodbye. I'm not sure really what it is. It wasn't that clear, you know.
Right.
It's just maybe it was just sort of Dean's thinking about all their good times, but their good times were when Lisa opened the door. I guess it means, well, she let him in and she didn't have to. And you know, I'm just going to, like, put that montage out of my mind because there's too much about Lisa and Dean and Ben that I enjoyed, you know, that storyline.
Right, exactly. I really like the storyline of Lisa and Ben.
Mm-hmm. And I like Ben. And as Ben gets older, he's not going to have to wait for Dean to come to him, you know, get his driver's license, and he can turn 18 and he can hit the road in search of Dean.
This may be a little fanficky, I don't know, but I don't think, no matter what Dean says, I'm pretty sure Ben's going to grow up to be a hunter.
You think so?
It may be a little fanficky, but I totally see it happening because you can tell he looks up to Dean. He called Dean because he didn't want his mom getting serious with this other guy, and I can totally see him grow up to want to be just like Dean.
Yeah, that's how he is now. He's 10, you know. So we'll see, but you never know. He may fix on that track, and that's just where he's going to end up when he's an adult. That's how Dean started, you know, with Dad, that young, and even a little bit of Sam. You know, Sam eventually came to fully accept it because he didn't at first, but, yeah, he went on that path early too. So, I also liked Dean's reaction when Lisa was telling him, you know, I have a date and he's a doctor, and Dean's kind of like, oh, Dr. Matt. And I thought it was kind of cute the way when he was kind of, you know, jealous and very, it was a very normal, typical reaction to something like that. And it's so much of Sam and Dean's life is atypical. It's nice to see a little moment like that. I thought it was cool. So where do we go from One Tree Hill? And it was a little bit strange to have it, like, right in the middle of the episode, too. You know, it's like, here's where we've got a case going. So I like the scene when Sam sends Dean off to see Lisa. You know, it's not soulless Sam doing it like, I don't need you, get out. It's Sam, it's 24 hours, I can manage Dean, it's okay, you need to go deal with now your past. Well, Sam actually says this is your past, so maybe that is a message that Lisa is going to stay in the past. And he says, I've been dealing with mine. And I like, he walks into the car, he opens the door, and then he gives him sort of an encouraging pat on the back. Like, again, we haven't seen stuff like that in quite a while. It's really, really nice to see.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that the way that the ending, it was a really good twist. I did not see a haunted kidney coming. they got me on that one. I did not see that coming.
You know, I'm trying to think exactly what I thought as I watched it. And did I think of that? I'm not sure I thought of, like, her having, you know what I did? I did. I said, you know what, maybe she, I guess I thought it earlier in the episode because, her name is Isabel. Isabel said, you know, I'm amazingly, you know, grateful to my sister. She's very, very special to me. You know, she did something for me. And I remember at the time it just popped into my head, well, I wonder if she, like, gave her a kidney or something. not thinking at all later on that that would be the part of her remaining that would have to be, you know, salted and burned, which, of course, I couldn't imagine how they were going to get out of that. When Sam found out, I thought, are they going to take away her kidney? What are they going to do? I said, you know, they can't kill her. Yeah, so it's a tiny bit convenient that the poor woman ended up getting killed in the midst of all that. I mean, it's not unusual to have collateral damage, but that's a big lose for Sam and Dean. You know, they take that stuff really hard, really to heart. And it is ironic that, you know, the guys that are left that played the terrible joke on poor Rose are still alive. You know, the Dicks survived, and both those really nice, kind sisters died.
Yeah.
So that's a really sucky, universal decision there.
The whole practical joke thing that they played on poor Rose, it reminded me a lot of the scene in Buffy episode Selfless, where a guy in the fraternity had his girlfriend come to a party and then broke up with her in front of everybody there, made a whole big thing about it. She got upset, said, I wish you could feel what I'm feeling, which called Anya the vengeance demon, and she tore all their hearts out. It reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah. And I hate bullies. I hate people who play mean tricks like that. It's not like any of those guys were any big prizes, you know, and that's probably why they did it, because most bullies, when they do stuff like that, they're just trying to deflect attention off themselves. And and it's like, you know, if you just take a good look at me, you'll pick on me, you know, so let's gang up and be together and I'll feel like I've got friends and we'll pick on some other poor soul. I mean, there are nastier tricks to play than that. But still, I don't like anything like that. You know, it gets pushed too far, and you end up with something like, you know, Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, or any similar example, and that is a terrible, terrible thing. So I can't say that I'm truly sorry that the guys that were just playing this trick on her were getting avenged on. I mean, you're not supposed to think that. And it was really hard for Sam to, like, do the right thing and save those people, you know. I mean, he did it just with a minimum that he had to tell them. You know, he wasn't nice or comforting. It's just like, do what I say, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, he was pretty unhappy. And I'm sure in some ways, probably him and Dean have both been in Rose's place at one time or another when they were growing up, say, you know. They were outsiders. Mm-hmm. They were different. They could have been picked on at school.
Well, we know
school special.
Right. We know Sam was. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a while. And then even Dean at the same high school, you know,
uh-huh.
I mean, he would be sort of all blustery and everything. But then tables were turned on him, too. So, you know, they both know what that's like. And wasn't that part about the guy that's nervous, and he ends up telling Sam the whole story about the trick, and he goes home and he tells his girlfriend they're moving, you know, out of town, and it turns out to be a sex doll, and it was the creepiest thing ever when she just turns her head and looks at him, and oh my God.
It kind of, at first I was like, okay, I was like, what the heck is going on here? He's got a doll for a girlfriend that he's pretending is real, and so I was like texting my friend. I was like, I'm confused. And, you know, so then I was like, well, he's just a big loser. And he really had no place at all to be calling Rose a loser, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was much worse. I mean, he was a little bit crazy.
And have you seen the movie Lars and the Real Girl?
I've heard of it, but I didn't see it.
Okay, it's a lot. It reminded me a lot of that, and it makes me wonder if the writers had seen that movie. What is it, Ryan Gosling is in the movie, and he like never had a girlfriend until he orders, you know, one of those dolls, and he like totally takes her everywhere he goes, introduces her to the family. You know, he changes her clothes, treats her as an actual girlfriend, and you know, and it reminded me a lot of that. It's a good movie too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you must have seen the tweet because you retweeted it. the person that says, I felt the montage conveyed the fact that Lisa kept letting Dean into her life, but I think that's done now. And, you know, that's right. If opening the doors is her letting Dean in, I guess it does symbolize that. And that does work, but it's still, the montage itself is still kind of an odd choice. But thank you for your opinion, mm-hmm. Marilyn. We appreciate it, and it's a good opinion. We like it.
And I like another tweet.
And thanks for listening.
Another tweet.
Sorry,
from a tweet from the driver picks. I like these. They said their favorite part was the car being possessed, and that was a really good scene. That was funny. I felt so sorry for Dean. Leave my baby out of this. She doesn't have anything to do with this.
I'm sorry. It's a little bit staticky to me. I'm sorry. Can you say it again?
The driver picks tweeted that their favorite part was the car being possessed.
Oh, yes.
And that I thought that was really funny with Dean saying, you know, leave the baby out of this. She has nothing to do with it. Really good. And seeing Jensen does comedy so well. And just seeing him run around all flaily from the car, you know, it was really funny.
He was so horrified that his baby, you know, that he loved so much was actually out to get him. And then what he had to do to stop the car, he's like, I'm so sorry, baby. He was really upset. And then he just leaps out of the way. And poor Impala, I mean, she's had worse happen to her, but she's not too happy, I'm sure, about being possessed. Because last time it was Sam, at least. But
yeah, it reminded me, I wonder if they did, a callback to the pilot when,
mm-hmm.
When they're on the bridge with Constance Welch and the car comes after them.
Yeah, I was almost half expecting Dean or Sam to hold up the keys, you know.
Yeah,
which would have been really cool.
Speaking of callbacks, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but at the end scene when they're talking and Sam says to Dean, says, I got your back.
Mm.
All I could think about was the episode in Live Free or Twy Hard when at the end when they're at the car and Dean knows that he saw Sam let the vampire bite in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything. And Sam and he says to Sam, you got my back, right? And Sam says, you know I do. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and we knew that Dean had his doubts. You know, Dean did not think
mm-hmm.
he did. But in
right.
this scene, you knew that Dean knew Sam had his back. And so
yeah.
I don't know if that was a deliberate callback or not, but I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too, and I agree. I think it was I'm as definite as I can be without actually, you know, making a phone call to the writer's office, you know, and asking them. But it has to be a callback because it's so specific and such an important thing where how Sam used to be and how he is now. And that's exactly what they said, you know, I've got your back. And we knew that. He didn't mean it, and Dean didn't believe it. But this time, Sam really means it, and I hope Dean believed it. I saw that the opinion on that was split online, that some people thought that Dean is still kind of hesitant or didn't quite believe him still. So I'm like, really? Because, boy, Sam sounded mighty sincere to me.
I totally saw Dean believing it. That's what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I thought that maybe Dean's expression kind of said that he was remembering the time when Sam said that to him and didn't mean it, which would make it, you know, kind of a little bit sad expression or quiet expression on his face. But I think he believed it this time, and I thought it was really cool of Sam to say thank you. It doesn't come up too often either. He says, you know, and thank you for that, and thank you. I think Dean kind of ducking his head and going, well, it's all good. It's not that he felt strange about Sam saying thank you or not, or was bothered that Sam maybe waited a little bit to say, you know, there's a lot going on, and he understands. I think it's just that he feels guilty that he made Sam do it, that he forced you know, the whole thing with death and made him do it. And now what's happening, of course, the seizures and the wall maybe, you know, crumbling a little bit. I think that expression and that tone of voice came from him feeling guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I think. I really like that scene. I like them at Bobby's. I know they always usually stop by the side of the road and have their talks, and they've done that often, which I like, and I'm sure they do, but I also like now that they seem to be doing this in Bobby's scrapyard. You know, that is their home, one of their homes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that they're there, and they came back to fix the car, and the whole fixing the car scene, it's a little bit nice callbacks to, you know, they're fixing the Impala from being T-boned, and they've talked out there with the Lucifer and the apocalypse and about the Orson. There's so many things and talks that have gone out there now. I really like that that's a continuing moment with them. It's a nice thing. And that's where they feel safe and all that. And also, like Sam saying, at least Lucifer's left the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's kind of a cool way to put it. All that. I thought he handled the case really well, you know, on his own there for a
yeah.
day. I mean,
yeah.
Why wouldn't he? But I thought it was really handled. And I like that it wasn't like Soul of Sam having a case. It was barreling through and no emotion and just making people do what he wants and rude and arrogant and not needing Dean. Like, yeah, Dean, go ahead. He would have suggested, I don't need you. But he kept Dean involved in the case, you know, calling him and discussing
mm-hmm.
it and letting him know what's going on, but he was still doing just fine on his own and solved it. So,
yep, yep.
That was really good. What else about this episode? You know, I'm wondering, I mentioned this last week also for the same reason it's happened again this week. We have this whole big thing with Dean and death and Dean not really making a deal with death, but death telling him kind of what the price is for getting Soul Sam back and saying, you know, you're a detective, Dean. It's about the souls. What's going on? We haven't heard word one about that whole project, and I think death is going to get a little cranky pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm wondering when... Yeah, because that, I think... There have been so many big things mentioned that
mm-hmm.
so they haven't followed through with them yet. And I'm wondering, okay, so is the end of this season just going to be jam-packed full of just
mm-hmm.
major things? Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
we've got that, like you mentioned, the whole purgatory thing and now the whole mother thing. And
mm-hmm.
we've got Castiel's War in Heaven. And, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
just so many things. You know, so many huge things that they haven't
mm-hmm.
really—they've only mentioned, but not really followed through on—and I'm,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it really makes me wonder, like, how,
yeah.
how are they going to deal with it all?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you should be really thinking about this or talking about it. And I guess maybe Dean is purposely avoiding it, thinking, I just got my Sammy back. It's so fun to hear him say Sammy again like that. I just love that.
I know, I love that.
I've missed it so much, but I think maybe he's just avoiding it, thinking I just got my Sammy back. You know, let me just enjoy it just for a little while. You know, maybe he's thinking it that way. I have a vague theory that all those big storylines, one of them, that the whole War in Heaven thing, I think is going to be, we might get more pieces of it, but I think it's going to be one of those things that finishes the season and could easily be turned into next season's storyline, kind of.
Yeah, right.
So I also read this interview with Jensen from the LA convention. I don't know if you read it. It talks about where he's saying that the first half of the season has been really, really heavy for him and just him, just, you
mm-hmm.
know, just him, just Sam, and he's hitting the wall already and pretty tired and like Bob Singer and everybody are saying, just hang on, Jensen. You know, where things are changing, but it's not like turning a rowboat. It's like turning a cruise ship. And he's right. It just takes a little bit, and hang on, and we're doing it. But later in the season, all this other stuff is going to start coming up and together. And some people say Dean hasn't really had a storyline so far, and I know what they mean. It's really just been Dean dealing with soulless Sam. But, you know, if Thor and Helen comes back and all the other stuff, that will be Dean.
They say that every year about, you know, Sam girls say it about Dean girls say it about Sam, you know, and I don't see it this year, especially. I see Dean is, I think, has had a major story. He's been dealing with Lisa, and that whole, you know, he finally had the family life that he always wanted, and then he had to drop it, and then the whole Campbell's coming back and dealing with them, and then soulless Sam, you know, he's, you know, I think he's had a really good, and I think Dean's had a good storyline every single year, and because usually we're seeing things through Dean's eyes, you know, we're seeing, we know how Dean feels about Sam because we're seeing his feelings and his, you know, I think Supernatural is like Dean's life. And, you know, so I think they both have an equal story, so.
I think, it's not necessarily my point of view, but I think that point of view comes from, it's not Dean's story, it's Dean has a story because of, he's reacting to all these other things. And, like, I guess more specifically, Dean's story would be being Michael's vessel. And,
right.
You know what, there were plenty of complaints about that, too. You know, saying, well, you know, he's got that, and then he went all that way, and then he wasn't Michael Vessel after all. I'm like, well, you know, hello, the show, he couldn't be. If the show was ending, yeah, sure, he could have been right in Michael, and they both would have jumped into the hole, and that would have been the end. But I think he's got plenty to do, and there's nothing wrong with him in the whole Lisa storyline either. That is his story. I think a lot of his story this half of the season is Dean coming to terms with the fact he gave a life with Lisa and Ben a try, but he's realizing he's not really meant to be that. Like he says in You Can't Handle the Truth, I'm a killer. And I don't think he's that bad. I think that's too extreme, but I know what he means. He's coming to terms with who he is. It was, you know, with Sam finally realizing he's more his father's son than he thought.
Like he said to Ben in this episode, that I'm not somebody that I feel can sit at your dinner table.
Which, you know, he's being way too hard on himself. I don't think that's true either, you know.
He's always had such low self-esteem, you know, as long as he's known him. Yeah, he thinks he's hot with the girls and everything, but when it comes to, like, everything else, he's just,
And it depends on the girl, too, you know. Like, he's fine with sort of fun dates and one-night stands and bar chicks and all that, but, you know, someone like Lisa... Even though Lisa started out that way, kind of fun and a fun weekend and, you know, Gumby girl and all that. But she, and I don't think, I said it before, he wasn't really in love with Lisa as much as he was in love with the idea of Lisa. And she did, when he found her again, she had a pretty stable home life and a son and a responsible job and all that. And everything just went from there. Maybe he isn't really in love with her. I think they just kind of grew to a nice place between the two of them. I'm still not sure either one is the love of their lives, but probably, you know, we won't see that again anyway. How about the scene where Sam goes to burn Rose's remains? Wasn't that kind of freaky when it's a hole and he's standing at the edge of it? It's not as deep, of course, as, you know, hole in the apocalyptic hole in hell. But he's standing there, and then he lights the match and it's fire, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I kept waiting for him to have a flashback because, you know, the bones and the flames, and I was like, oh, he's going to have a flashback. And and especially the way the camera kept showing the fire and the bones, you know, I was like, but they didn't. I was waiting for it, but it never happened.
Yeah, especially since, you know, fire, hell, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It was kind of weird, but I thought it was a cool scene how it related, but they didn't go any farther with it. Maybe Maybe they will some other time. So
I like that we did get a song, you know, Nazareth,
yep.
Love Hurts. And Jensen said at the convention last weekend that because we have fans have complained and everything, and, you know, emailed and written and called CW and everything about the music, that we are getting it back. So I was so thrilled to hear that. And so I'm hoping maybe that was like a little, because we have been getting, you know, here and there we're getting a little bit of music. So
mm-hmm.
I was really glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's great. Because that makes, it's just a big part of Supernatural. It always has been, you know, and it was so obvious when it was gone and not as much. And I understand, but.
First season, I mean, you know, there was at least two big songs. You know, every episode ended with a song. And
mm-hmm.
that was like one of the major things that really got me into the show. When I watched the pilot
mm-hmm.
for the first time. Was all the AC/DC in it. I was like, I got to watch this show. They have AC/DC.
Oh, yeah. It's my kind of music. It's our era, you know.
Right.
Bob Singer and everything. And it just made sense for the show. And they explained it so well about it being John's music. And then, of course, Dad's music for Dean. And, oh, yeah, just great. Well, for this episode, the title of it is from the movie of the same name. I guess there were three Mannequin movies. I've never seen any of them. Dean mentions Kim. What?
I thought there were only. Were there three? I thought there were only two.
Oh, maybe there's only two. Because I haven't seen any of them, so.
I've seen the first one.
I didn't
see any of the other ones.
Oh, there is isn't there a movie? It's like something. It's the movie and a number, and then it's just The Reckoning. What am I thinking of? Must be something else.
I'm sure there's a
Mannequin movie. What's that?
I'm sure there probably is.
Yeah, it just sounds too familiar. The original Mannequin movie had Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall, who Dean mentions, because she was the mannequin, and then she becomes possessed by an ancient Egyptian. So that's why Dean calls her Kim Cattrall when they're looking in the. All the strange mannequins, and boy, they were really creepy. That was a good job. It reminded me of Doctor Who and Blink, kind of.
Uh-huh. It reminded
Angel.
Me of the pilot, not the pilot, but the first episode of Doctor Who with Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor. It was all about mannequins coming to life in London.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That, too. Yeah, it's out there. It's not an uncommon thing, but... Some people do it better than others. I'm just looking for all these, you know, trivia references. They mentioned Nookie, who I guess is on Jersey Shore. I don't watch that show. And I like Sam going, "What's a Snooki?" And Dean says, "That's a good question." But I guess Snooki herself tweeted that.
Right.
She heard about the mention and liked it and said, "Oh, I love that show." So that's pretty cool.
Yep. She tweeted.
Yep. So maybe somebody will watch Supernatural because Snooki does. That would be cool. More viewers. And speaking of more viewers, our ratings were up this week.
Yay.
So that's a good thing.
According to Violet Hill Dream on Twitter, there are only two Mannequin movies, no third, hence the episode name.
Ah, okay. Well, of course, Mannequin Space.
Thank you, Violet Hill Dream.
But
I was looking on IMDb and couldn't find anything, so thank you.
Yes, but that is bugging me because there is something, like something Reckoning, so I'll think about it. They also mentioned, Dean mentions Chucky. Chucky was a doll in the Child's Play movies, and there are more than one or two of those, unfortunately. Since he is a serial killer, he transfers his soul into that of a toy doll, which wreaks murderous havoc through five movies. Holy cow. And Jennifer Tilly, I think, was in one of those or more. But Danny mentions that, of course, you know, you can't do a Mannequin movie without mentioning Chucky. Christine says to Lisa, we've been parent trapped, which is the movie The Parent Trap. It was a early Disney movie, and then it was remade later on with Lindsay Lohan playing the twins. She mentions that in this right. It's sort of a plot by the twins to get their parents back together again. So that's what Ben's doing to Dean and Lisa. Ben's playing the game Plants versus Zombies. And I like Dean saying, well, that's ridiculous. Plants could never kill a zombie. You know, the way to take the fun out of the game, Dean. You know, it's a game. What else?
There was a Glee mention. I like the Glee mention. I was really surprised to hear that mention. I was like, oh, Glee.
I love Glee. It's kind of a surprise to hear it mentioned on Supernatural, though. And actually not particularly in a really positive way.
Right. But, yeah, I don't think funny. Sam and Dean would like Glee. I don't think they would be Glee fans.
No, they wouldn't. But, you know, Jensen could guest star on Glee because he can sing. That would be fun to see Jensen on Glee. I'm not sure he'd ever do it, but it'd be fun. In all his spare time. it was funny when they were talking about the lab that they were in, and they mentioned dissecting frogs, and Dean says they don't dissect anything good in here. Bigger than Kermit, they use an iPad, and it didn't dawn on me until I read this, that Kermit's a frog. You know, but you don't want to dissect a Muppet. That's not very nice.
They have a lot of salt.
Yeah. Stuffing, which now that leads me to think of when Angels was turned into a puppet by Ben Edlin, writer for both shows, Angel and Supernatural. I love that episode. Just loved it.
And it also had, at the beginning, it had young Ridge Knipe, I think that's how you pronounce his name, that played Little Dean on Supernatural at the beginning of the Angel episode, Smile Time with the puppets. He's one of the victims at the beginning.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's a small world. Is there any more to talk about the episode? I have other stuff to talk about, but. Anything else about the episode?
I think I've covered pretty much everything that I was wanting to bring up.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing about the kidney and Sam says, and then what, leave her in a tub of ice with the phone strapped to her hand. That's kind of an urban legend about, you know, supposedly, you know, you're either kidnapped or whatever. When you wake up, you know, there's a kidney missing. There's a phone with you so you can call for help and you're in a tub of ice to survive and all that. Yeah.
Which was, I think, a callback to season, was it 3's? Time is on My Side with Doc Benton and the Frankenstein-like guy who was cutting parts out of people and putting them back in himself so he could move forward. They kind of did the same thing in that episode.
Yep. And it also happens to poor Charlie the Unicorn at the end of the infamous Charlie Unicorn video, which is really funny. And anybody, if anybody's never seen it, just go to YouTube and search for Charlie the Unicorn. And also look for the supernaturalized version of Charlie the Unicorn, which is also just a scream. Okay. There's something about the supernatural credits that I thought of when I was watching the other night. You know, the credits are the shattered Supernatural, looks like us. And we talked at the beginning of the season, well, maybe it has to do with the mirror, when Sam was looking in the mirror and talking to himself as Lucifer, and we're shattering the wall and the mirror and Sam being different, blah, blah, blah. But what if the shattering is actually Sam's wall breaking down?
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that. I like
it.
Yeah,
maybe. Because the credits always relate to the season, and I don't know if that's true, but I thought I watched it and I went, oh, the wall in Sam's head. They had to know they were going to do that, you know, because they plan things out pretty far in advance. Said, what if that the shattering of Supernatural in the credits is supposed to symbolize Sam's wall breaking down. So we'll have to see.
Very good point. Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. Hey, folks, you heard it here first. anything about the episode? Because there's a preview for next week that we got to talk about. There's something else about an episode title from the future that I want to mention that I thought of. And if you want to talk about the convention, so where should we go first?
Let's move on to talking about the extended preview for next week. Not the one that they aired at the end of this episode, the extended one that was online.
Okay, and everybody, if you don't want any spoilers at all, if you don't like to know anything about the next episode, now's the time to just cover your ears for a little while. that was, it had to be, the funniest thing ever. And I know some people hate those kind of episodes, but I just love them. I think they're so funny. I think Supernatural does them the best, just the best.
I've watched it 10 times, I bet, that preview. It's just hilarious.
It is so funny. I mean, everything about it, it's Genevieve walking up as Mrs. Jared Padalecki and oh, hi, of course, to Sam, who's come over into, the Jared and Jensen Supernatural TV show universe. She's married to Ruby, which is even funnier, and then she kisses him, and that freaks him out, poor Dean is like, oh, my God, that's funny right there. Yep. And I think it's just great. I thought it was a great idea to have her on the show as that. I loved it. Can't wait to see the whole thing.
I love, love, love when it shows Dean sitting in the makeup chair and the makeup girl's trying to put makeup on him, and he goes to Sam, "They're putting makeup on us, those bastards."
I know. And I love that Misha is twittering, mad, and then he's obviously captured by some bad guy, and instead of being all Castiel angel and protecting himself, he just starts to cry. That just killed me. I just laughed and laughed and laughed when I saw that. That's my favorite part. And the awful sweater that he's wearing must be one of Misha's real sweaters that they used to make fun of and couldn't believe they weren't a joke.
And now, I think it's really cool seeing Brian Doyle Murray, because I think he's a pretty big name, and getting him on the show, I think, is really cool.
And who is that? Who?
Brian Doyle Murray, he's playing the director.
I don't know.
Bill Murray's brother. He's Bill Murray's brother. He was in Christmas Vacation. He played Chevy Chase's boss in Christmas Vacation that Randy Quaid kidnapped.
Okay.
He was in Wayne's World. He was the owner of the video game, the arcade, Noah's Arcade. And, I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff. And so it's just really cool seeing him on our show.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, that is pretty cool. They get good casting, and the people that Supernatural cast seems to go on, a lot of them go on to some really great stuff, like Adrienne Palicki was just cast as Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Which I think she'll be a great one. But I feel bad because Tracy Dinwiddie wanted the part so bad.
I know, and I think she would have done a great job, too. I'm sorry about Tracy not getting it, but I'm really excited that Adrienne did, because she's a Supernatural family member, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I was really glad that she came back. Oh, God. Spoiler, Friday Night Lights. She came back to Friday Night Lights because her character was gone for a while, but she came back to do some episodes in the last season. I really recommend that show. It's off the air now, but if you want a really, really fantastic, fantastic show, it's Friday Night Lights.
Right. I know absolutely nothing about football, yet I watched that show and loved it.
Yeah, it's not about the football. It just happens to be there. It just happens to be Coach Taylor's job. But it's just all about the relationships and the kids and the people and their lives and families. And it's, don't let football stop you from watching that show, because it's great. And the original movie had Christian Kane in it. It's kind of neat. Unrecognizably Christian Kane, but he is in it. Yeah. Did you see the original movie? The theater?
No, I have not. Uh-uh.
It's really good. And Christian Kane is in it.
Well, now I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, but he's like unrecognizable, almost, the voice. If you know Christian's voice, you'll know it's him, but he's got like a full beard and scraggly hair. And oh, my goodness, it's kind of a little bit scary. But cause he's usually so pretty. But, yeah, I can't wait for next week. Just can't wait. And the podcast is going to be so much fun with that one. If we could stop laughing.
I think that may be a problem.
Yeah. Okay, so continuing the spoiler thing. What else about that? Oh, and they're going to tie next week's episode into the show arc, too, it looks like, which is great. They're so good at that, like an angel, and I think Balthazar is involved.
Since we already told people who don't want to hear be spoiled not to listen, but the episode description, I don't have it pulled up right now, but the episode description basically said that Raphael is out to get Sam and Dean, so to keep them safe, Balthazar puts them in the alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds, even without the whole, mm-hmm. Sam and Dean playing Jared and Jensen, it sounds like it would be a cool episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's like changing channels, which was wild and crazy and fun and all that, but it was turned very, very serious with finding out Trickster is Gabriel. So I think we'll get the same kind of thing with this episode. They're really good at it. When Supernatural comes back for a seventh season and they want to do a similar episode, I think they could flip it around and send Jared and Jensen into the Supernatural universe and put them as Sam and Dean trying to hunt. And I was telling telling this to a friend last night about this idea, and she says that she that if that happens, she says she expects to hear lots of girly screams. Jensen and Jared are pretty together guys, they're pretty practical and they can take care of themselves and all that kind of stuff. But still, playing that kind of hunter character and then actually being the demon hunter, if there was such a thing, that would be really, really scary. And nothing, because when I guess you're filming the episode, you know that stuff's not real, and you know you're not really going to be possessed or haunted or fall into hell or anything like that. So, you're not that worried. You play worried, but you're not that worried. But if you end up in Sam and Dean's universe and it is real, that would be scary. So I think that'd be kind of cool if they did that.
And Jensen could use his real regular voice.
Yes, that's right. And that's right. We're probably going to hear Misha's real voice in next week's episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds nothing like Cassiel. Oh, gosh, I can't wait. So this is about a title of an episode that's coming up. I forget which number it is, but it's farther down the line this season. And can you believe they're filming episode 19?
Oh, my gosh, I know. I can't believe it's almost the end of the year.
Just unbelievable. But there's an episode for the moment titled, later on in the season, My Heart Will Go On. Which everybody knows, and Michael Osiello, who does the spoilers, put that in. You should check out this video because it's going to have something to do with later on in the season. And everybody freaked out because it's a homemade video and it's a very good one. But the storyline is nothing that's ever happened in Supernatural. It ends with Sam actually being killed by Gordon Walker and actually dying, and Dean learning to go on without him. That's why they use the song "My Heart Will Go On." And I think Michael Osiello just means that the titles are the same, My Heart Will Go On.
Mm-hmm.
But it started me thinking, because that's for Titanic. And in Titanic, there was a necklace called the Heart of the Ocean. And Jensen, way back when he was on Days of Our Lives, did a print ad to advertise the sale of replica necklaces, so it could be kind of a pun or for fun that, Jensen used to do that. But it's about a necklace. There's a missing necklace on Supernatural that we haven't seen in a long time.
Ooh, I like where you're heading with this.
Do you think that episode could possibly mean Supernatural's own version of Heart of the Ocean.
I hope you're right.
I know. I'm like, Nick, well, there's more stuff tonight. So I don't know. I could be just like pulling it, you know, out of thin air. I could be completely wrong. It may not mean a thing, but it's a possibility. So we'll have to see where it goes. Could be something else entirely. I certainly don't think it means that Sam's going to die. Like the end of that video, you know.
No, he's died too many times. They're not going to kill him again.
Yeah, or Dean. I hope nobody else dies. I have a feeling that part's going to be wrong because, you know, Supernatural, everybody drops right and left, but we'll see. Our show, I don't know why I'm going to mention it because you can't hear me if we're not live anymore. I'm sorry, but we continue to be recorded. So don't think we've ended if you're listening somewhere. We are recorded for as long as we talk up to 2 hours. And we can be found on iTunes, WinchesterBros.com. Click on the Winchester Radio icon. Don't forget about going to blogtalkradio.com, Media Boulevard. That's the abbreviation for Boulevard, BLBB. And Facebook and Twitter and everything. Something to go back to Mannequin 3, The Reckoning, for a second. When it's towards the beginning, and Sam's had a seizure, and he comes back, and Dean gets him the hell out of there. And he's trying to make Sam feel better, so he goes and he buys him food and he offers him these pills to help. And Sam says, you know, what are they? And what Dean has kind of a good answer. I forget what he says. Do you remember
the dialogue? He says
they're effective. That's what they are. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they came from. I'd be a little concerned. And by the way, Robert Englund's doctor character was mentioned again, right, Dr. Robert?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Sam says it's a butcher shop, and Dean says, oh, it's surprisingly clean. I thought that was funny. And it's nice that they remembered him. But I wonder what those pills are. And also, it was interesting what Dean said.
I had a feeling that the pills weren't all that legal.
I don't think so either, which doesn't surprise me. But it's a little alarming because Dean has the pills. The jar wasn't full. There's only a few left. And he also mentions, you know, you do what I do. He says you push it down and it comes out in spurts of violence and alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the first time they've acknowledged right out there that Dean's got a drinking problem.
Yeah.
And the violence. And that's something else he's been dealing with, what kind of person he is. And he's probably not only, drinking, but he maybe occasionally takes the pills to not only deal with hell, which is probably still on his mind, and probably more now, knowing that Sam has been there and the fact that Sam went to hell and was gone for a year. So I'm not surprised that Dean chooses to self-medicate, but it's very upsetting and very sad. You know, I mean, Dean covers it well. You know, we laugh with him it's fun and crazy and all that, but you know, think about it. He's got some tough issues there. Put it mildly.
I'm replying to a tweet real quick. They're wanting to know. You finished there. You can't end there. We're about to explode. No, come on. Amulet. So I'm letting them know that our show is still recording.
I know. It's like, I was busy talking and didn't notice that we were about to go. I am sorry about that. What else? You want to talk about the convention and you want to talk about our recent Q&A that we did?
Yeah, I can mention the convention. I missed most of Friday. The only thing I was able to go to on Friday night was the Brian Buckley concert, which was amazing. Jared and Genevieve came out and introduced them because Brian Buckley is a good friend of theirs, apparently. And it was awesome. They had set up this couch for Jared and Genevieve to sit on while watching the show. The couch ended, was right directly in front of my seat. I was in the front row. There was, like, me, and then there's Jared and Jen. I mean, like, literally, like, maybe, like, a 1 foot in between us for the whole entire time.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That must have been really tough to sit there like that.
It was, because they were right there, so I couldn't really, and then to the left of me was the band, and they were amazing, and so I would be really getting into the music, you know. And then it hit me, oh, my gosh, Jared and Genevieve were like, right there, you know. and so it was kind of awkward, but it was a really good show. It was really amazing.
Cool.
And
yeah, I hope they come to Chicago, you know.
They will go anywhere. They are some of the friendliest people. My friend Vinny and I, we, you know, got in the line to meet them after the concert and everything, and they were just some of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and they will go anywhere that they get asked to. So they said, you know, they would love to go to Vancouver. They would love, you know, to go to Nashville. And all you have to do is just, you know, write Creation and get Creation to invite them, and they'll be there. So,
yeah, I hope so, because, you know, I just love Jason Manns and Steve Carlson, but I've seen them both, you know, several times now, and I love their music, and I love the you know, Supernatural fans of taking them on, you know, as part of the family, and they're so much fun. I enjoy their talks, you know, a lot also. But just for a change, and since this band, you know, also means something to Jared, so they totally relate to the Supernatural family, and they're new, and I'd like to see them. So I hope they come to Chicago.
They put on an amazing show. They're so full of energy, and like Brian Buckley never stops moving. He's just constantly dancing and jumping and bouncing, and They're really good to watch, really fun to watch, great to listen to. Highly recommend them.
Okay.
And Saturday, there was Misha and Jim and Mark Shepherd. My first time seeing Mark Shepherd, and he's been in like every single thing I've ever watched in the history of the world. And it was just so cool getting to finally actually see him. And he was great. He was great.
Yeah, he's fun. He's a good storyteller. We got him in Chicago last year, so I was really excited because, like you said, I've seen him in every show I've ever loved. He's always got a part in.
And he was awesome. And there's just so many great things. I can't remember them all. Sunday, you know, of course, was Jared and Jensen Day, and they were, of course, amazing as always. Rock Kelly was on Sunday. Jim Beaver came out and did a special bonus panel during Jared and Jensen's autograph time. And it was so funny because Jared and Jensen were still there, you know. And they were still there. And so Jim would be telling stories and Jared and Jensen would be like heckling him. They would be doing, somebody asked Jim to do impressions of Jared and Jensen. And he wouldn't do it since they were there. So Jared and Jensen from behind the curtains were yelling out things as Bobby, doing impressions of Bobby. And, like, Jensen hollered out, "Where's my Jared Paul?" And, "I need some more toilet paper." And just, you know, it was hilarious. And at one point Jared was doing hand puppets on the big gigantic screen, you know, that they have showing, you know, and they threw water bottles over the curtains at him and everything. It was really funny. And no spoilers or anything came out. Guy B was there. It was awesome getting to meet Guy B.
I would love to meet him. I would love to go to the Paley Fest. Eric Kripke is going to be there. He's like my dream guest for a convention. Just a dream guest.
And Jim Michaels was there. I got to say hi to him. And,
I'd like to meet him too.
And which I think is a good segue into our Q&A that we had this week with him.
Yep.
We have an exclusive Q&A with Jim Michaels. It's posted to WinchesterBros.com. You can go and click on if you don't see it on the main page, all you have to do is click on Exclusives and then Interviews, and you'll see it there.
And it's a really good little interview. He had some good things to say, fun things to say, and he's been in the business a long time. And I was on some other really great shows that I liked. So,
yeah,
go read. It's very enjoyable.
There wasn't any, like, big news or anything came out, you know, at the convention or anything. It was just, you know, really, really good, fun convention.
That's good. Those are always good. I've been looking at pictures and reading reports. And the Jensen and Jason jam session must have been awesome. I would love to have done that. I didn't see the final price that it went for, but as Jensen said, he told Jason that they, I guess they were going to have to do this thing naked, so it must have gone for a lot of money if he's talking about
I did not get the tickets. I could not afford it, but it went for $1,551 each.
Holy cow.
Yeah, they sold, I think it was 30 at the auction, and then they sold 10 more tickets at the convention at that price.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's a really special thing, you know? I mean, that doesn't happen very often. I know Justin's too busy now, but I think it'd be really cool if he and Jason did more music together, like did an album together or did more songs like Crazy Love. You know, they did one. It'd be so good for Jason, you know. Well, both of them. I would like to see it. I wish they would do that because I think they sound really great together.
Mhm. I love Crazy Love. That's a great song.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, that must have been a really cool jam session. I wonder if they'll try and do that again sometime. But I wonder if the price would come down because, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't because if you take it to a different city, you know, say Vancouver or Chicago or whatever, all the people that go to that convention would want to see it for the first time. So it would probably be just as expensive.
Well, I had a few friends who went to the jam session, and it's you know, a few of them are, you know, the ones that go to a lot of the cons. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But still, wow, $1,500.
A lot of money.
That is a lot of money. And that's on top of everything else you're doing at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you know what? If you've got it and that's what you enjoy, I say go for it. There are worse things to spend your mad money on, you know, much worse things. And as long as you're not, like, spending the rent money or your grocery money or your kids' tuition money on conventions and stuff like that, which is pretty irresponsible, I say, so what? Go for it. Go to all the ones you want.
it's your money. You should spend it the way you want to, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there. Yeah. Anything else?
About the con? My friend and I, we were eating at Earth Cafe on Thursday evening, and we were sitting there, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Alex Ponovich sitting at that table. I think it's him. I'm not sure. I think it's him. He was in Crossroad Blues, that episode where it was his friend who was the architect who jumped off of one of the buildings that he built.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was in this season's All Dogs Go to Heaven. He was one of the skinwalkers, like big tough guys, skinwalker guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on Twitter and stuff. I think he, before he was on our old Facebook page, he was one of our friends on there. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's him. And so she looked up on her phone, yep, that's him. So she tweeted to him, we're sitting at Earth Cafe having a sandwich. Pretty sure Alex Spahn, because his name on Twitter is Alekspaun, is in my eyesight. And so we did not check it after that. You know, did not check her Twitter after that. I checked it last night. Just I'm like, I want to see if he ever. I want to check his Twitter and see if he ever saw that tweet and see if he might confirm that. So we're not. Sure enough, 20 minutes after we tweeted, which we were probably still sitting there, he tweeted, yep, that's right. And it's like, darn, if we had just checked it while we were sitting there, we could have probably said hi.
Oh.
And then while we're sitting there, Stephen Baldwin walked past us. So.
Yeah, that's LA for you. You just never know. LA or New York City. New York City is like that too. You just never know. I was in New York once and was in a truck in Manhattan, just driving down the road, and this man came out on the street and he was trying to flag down a taxi, and I looked and I went, "Oh my God, that's Eric Roberts." So it was kind of cool because I had just seen him in a play there called Burn This, which is, it was really good. It was a good play. But it was kind of weird to see him out of the street flagging down a taxi like anybody else in New York City, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I think we talked out the episode and everything else, right? We're good for
I think we're good.
Yeah, we did a lot. So this is fun, and I thank everybody for listening. And please tell everybody, because we've moved, and I think some people are still wondering where we are. So if you're on Facebook or Twitter, it'd be great if you just retweeted or posted on your page about us. And we also lost a bunch of people on Facebook because of a doobie decision by Facebook itself. We deleted our page, so we'd like everybody to come back. We had, 5,000 or more?
Yeah, we were at almost 5,000. Right now we're at 1,592.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting there, but, yeah, it'd be nice to have everybody back. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yep.
All right. Well, Becky, thanks. This was fun, and we'll see you next week. Talk to everybody next week. Got a great episode to watch and look forward to and discuss for next week.
See everybody next week.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.